As we prepare to hear scripture read, let us join together in a prayer for illumination. Come, Holy Spirit, open our hearts to receive a word of truth, and then set us free to follow in the power of Christ's love. Amen. Today's scripture readings begin in the second book of Samuel in chapter 23, verses 1 to 7. This passage is the last word spoken by David. Let us listen together to the word of God. Then Pilate, Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed one, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with a hand. To touch them, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. Our second scripture reading moves us from the Gospel of Mark to a passage found in the Gospel of John. And this passage is read on Reign of Christ Sunday, marking the understanding that Christ is our King. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked Jesus, are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered, do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? And Pilate replied, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate asked Jesus, so you are a king? And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king, for this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, our family over the years has had fun playing a game called Would You Rather. Now, some of you have probably played this in some sort of form. Usually, you can find a book that has all of these unusual questions that you ask, but the game that we play is a board game and also includes an opportunity, rather than to choose, would you rather, to do a dare. So, like I said, the game entails asking unusual questions and then selecting what you consider to be the best of two unusual choices, such as, would you rather eat a head of rotten lettuce or drink a glass of sour milk? Would you rather never bathe or only bathe in the nearest river? Would you rather have an extra hand where one of your feet is, or have an extra eye where one of your hands are? Questions sound bizarre, don't they? Well, in the version we've played, if you don't answer the question, you face a consequence, or you might call it a dare, such as having to make animal noises or holding a spoon in your mouth for a few minutes during play. Now, these are difficult answer or difficult questions to answer. Some of them are. Some of them are so difficult that the dare doesn't seem too bad in comparison. Well, here are a few questions gleaned from the internet that are supposed to be impossible to answer. When does it stop being partly cloudy and start being partly sunny? Which baby is the cutest ever? How can something be both new and improved? Because if it's new, what was it improving on? What is another word for thesaurus? Can you cry underwater? Well, you can find these and many more so-called unanswerable questions if you simply search on the internet, questions impossible to answer. But really, many of these questions are, in fact, answerable. I mean, it's not rocket science. Obviously, the question about babies, for example, is really easy because the cutest baby is either your baby or my granddaughter. The answer, though, can only be subjective. And can you cry underwater? Well, yes, your tear ducts still function underwater, but you won't be able to feel the tears coursing down your cheeks because they'll mix with the water all around you. But why would you be crying underwater anyway? Today's text is full of questions. They are posed by Pilate and Jesus, and Jesus responds to all of them except one, the last question Pilate asks. Now, it's not a part of today's passage, but it concludes the conversation between Pilate and Jesus. Pilate asks Jesus, "What is truth?" And Jesus says nothing, according to John. If he did respond to the question, we don't know about it because John does not tell us if he answers. Perhaps Jesus simply said nothing because, well, he sensed that for Pilate it was a rhetorical question, like a question of frustration coming from a guy who was under political pressure to do the right thing. Well, it's more likely that Jesus didn't respond because he knew Pilate wasn't really looking for the truth. Pilate wasn't looking for what was true, but for what was least likely to cause a riot in the streets and a response from the governor, his boss. So how did this little chat get started anyway? It began with Pilate's question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus responded, and the conversation continued. Pilate repeated his question, "So you are a king?" And Jesus replied, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Well, I don't want to get too philosophical at this point. Jesus wasn't trying to get Pilate into a conversation about Greek philosophy. Jesus was not referring to the truth of philosophers, but the truth of and about God. And again, Jesus knew that Pilate wasn't ready to hear the truth about God. So I think that's why he didn't respond to Pilate's final question, "What is truth?" But Jesus' choice to answer a question about truth has not stopped us from trying to answer Pilate's final question that Jesus decided to leave unanswered. If you are unsure of the answer to what is truth, you can likely search the internet and find a whole lot of people who think they know the answer. We see it all around us. God's people argue and fight among themselves, convinced that they know what is true. Some days it feels like we spend our entire day defending our truth among half-truths that swirl around us. Elsewhere in the Gospels, as we read these Gospels, Jesus makes plenty of statements about God's truth. He's not afraid to share what is true. And he tells us that God loves us, that God wants us to be reconciled to him, that believing in Jesus is the way to salvation. Jesus also says that God's kingdom is not like earthly kingdoms. He tells us that we should love God and our neighbors as ourselves. He says God's word is truth. And of course, the big one, that Jesus himself is the way, the truth, and the life. So the question, what is truth, is not one that's impossible to answer. The impossibility might come from choosing the real truth. We don't really like knowing the real truth, though, most times. The real truth is that we choose other desires and spending time in acts of service to others or learning more about God. We don't like knowing the real truth, that we jump to conclusions or judgments rather than learning more about someone that we don't know. We really don't like knowing the real truth, that we spend more time interacting with others on our phone and tablets or computers rather than interacting with the people beside us in our homes. The real truth is hard to admit, perhaps because it reminds all of us of our human failings. But the good news is that Jesus isn't intent on making us feel bad. That's not his purpose. His statements that we find as we read scripture are meant to teach us how to enjoy life fully and to strengthen our relationships with him and one another. Jesus brings assurance and hope in our lives where confusion remains and truth is fleeting. Jesus isn't trying to be difficult at all. What is difficult, but not impossible, to deal with is Jesus' statement that everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. It's interesting that Jesus chooses the word belongs rather than knows. I think it's significant. He didn't say everyone who knows the truth listens to my voice. Because even if you know the truth, it doesn't mean you belong to the truth. Belonging, I think, means following. Belonging means understanding. Belonging sounds like someone who lives God's truth. You can know more than anyone else around you what Scripture reveals, but if you don't belong to it or follow it or live it, it doesn't really matter. Convincing yourself you know the real truth does not equal belonging. This kind of person, the one who's convinced they know the truth, is a dangerous one. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2 comes to mind, where it says, "A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart." Jesus says that everyone who belongs to him listens to his voice. And this isn't the first time that Jesus has said this. Check out John chapter 10, where he talks about being the good shepherd. Jesus says, "The sheep hear his voice. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." And finally, he says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." To belong to the truth and to listen to Jesus' voice is to be a member of the flock over which Jesus is the shepherd. Belonging does not equate knowing. You can know the real truth, but enacting the truth requires belonging to Jesus. Where in our culture these days do we see examples of belonging to the truth? Well, certainly we can cite many instances of good deeds being done, of people caring for the least of these. And those doing such acts are often motivated by listening to Jesus' voice. Such deeds are not only worthy of noting them, but also worthy of copying, adjusted, of course, for the circumstances and the people that we may encounter. But perhaps another way to learn about belonging to the truth is to consider when we may not be listening for Jesus' voice. This is a relevant consideration. Why? Because if we're not listening, we are not belonging to the truth. Jesus also gives examples in Scripture of moments when we are not truly listening to Jesus' voice. He says we're not truly listening when we do not show love for one another, when we do not repent of sin, or when we don't pray for our enemies. We aren't truly listening to Jesus' voice when we refuse to take up our cross, or we're not involved in making disciples, when we're not praying, or maybe when we don't forgive. We are not listening to the voice of Jesus when we are consumed with being materially and financially successful, or those times when we express anger in abusive ways, or when we seek revenge on those who have wronged us. We are not listening to the voice of Jesus when we seek the favor and applause of the public, or are consumed with worry and anxiety, or when we judge others. When we turn off Jesus, we turn off the truth. And when we turn off the truth, we turn off from a meaningful life because we do not truly belong to the truth Jesus teaches. What is truth? Well, it turns out that it's not an unanswerable question. The answer is Christ is the truth. He didn't answer that question when Pilate asked it because, well, honestly, Pilate wasn't interested in the truth. But Jesus answered it elsewhere when he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Christ is the truth. But to receive the truth of Christ means facing the truth about our lives, the truth Jesus holds up before us. It's not always comfortable, but it's necessary. Pilate refuses to face the truth. Will we refuse as well? Alleluia. Amen. Now, before we continue with our worship together, I want to switch what I was talking about. And I'm going to give you a spiritual discipline assignment. Consider it your homework for this week. But honestly, I found these really cool cards, and I bought enough for all of us to have. Because if you're like me, there are moments in life when the world around us becomes distracting, right? We kind of get caught up in what the world tells us is important. And it becomes so distracting that we turn away from the practices that allow us to strengthen our relationship with God, with Jesus, who we recognize as our King. Christ as King goes beyond any earthly description of a king and their subjects. We don't have to serve Christ out of fear. In fact, God created us with a free will to choose whom we will serve. But if you are here today, I'm going to assume that you believe in God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, we all learn what it means to be Christ's disciples. Now, are we perfect disciples? Clearly not, but we still try, right? So the season of Thanksgiving, to me, is an opportunity for us to pause and slow down from the pace our lives become and take a moment to acknowledge the blessings, or you might say the clear truths, within our lives that remind us that we are loved by the Creator of this world and beyond. So these cards are at the in the tables in the narthex and over here at this table. And each card includes on one side a scripture passage. So this scripture on this card is from Psalm 51:10. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." But then on the other side, there is a space to write down "I'm thankful for" and to write down the things you're thankful for, the blessings in your life. And so I encourage you to read the scripture passage, maybe with those that you see on Thanksgiving or with your family. Take some time to read the scripture, but then maybe as a family, or if you want to do it individually, that's fine too, but then write down those things that you're thankful for. Sometimes we forget to remember our blessings. And once you've had a chance to read the scripture and to write down your blessings, then thank God for your blessings. And take a moment just to give thanks to God this Thanksgiving week. You're welcome to take more than one. There should be plenty for everyone here. And perhaps I trust that whatever card you pick, that scripture was meant for you. So meditate on the scripture this week as well. Now, my friends, let us stand as if you are able, as we join together in our song of praise, give thanks. Thank you.